Welcome to the Innovation World Podcast. Innovation World is your go-to source for all things innovation, invention, and entrepreneurship. Our website is www.innovationworld.org.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Network. This is Carmine Didisco, your co-host for today's show of Innovation World. We're fresh off a guest co-host last week, and I want to talk to Julie about how she convinced our guest host to come on, but he was awesome. Hey, Julie, what's going on?
Hi, Carmine.
How you
lots
doing?
Of things as usual, of course, out in the innovation world and everything that means. Let's see. The rundown today would be go onto the Innovation World website homepage, look for the summer challenges. There's still two of the three challenges left. I think the second one is the talk challenge, which our kids will do a pitch online, be scored for it, be given feedback to it, and they'll be pitching with kids around the world. I know there Canada's involved, Ukraine is involved, China, United Kingdom, Mexico, and I'm probably missing two or three countries. I should have that list in front of me. But so they could be in a judge pool with kids from all over the place. So it's a really cool opportunity, especially for kids who have already done an invention program or an invention convention. It's just one more way to, or one more place or forum to be able to share their innovations and to get used to talking about them and feel more comfortable every time they do. So there's a couple more challenges there. We also have the co-host challenge. You know, we do these global innovation field trips every other month to once a quarter, and we're always looking for the next great co-host. We had three last time. One was from Connecticut, one from Ohio, and one from Florida, and they were student co-hosts, and they did a fabulous job. I thought they did. How do you think they did, Carmen?
I thought they were great. I mean, I was just going to hang up my headphones and go. They were doing such a great job. I mean, it was insane to me how they weren't even skipping a beat. You know, obviously with live shows, you have little problems here and there. But anything that came up, they just picked right up.
Yeah, I think we are easily replaceable by these talented young people, and that's okay with me because that's the name of the game. It's anything we can do to get them out there innovating and being part of the solution that makes us very happy. So along with that, folks can go on to the Innovation World website and sign up to be part of the next Global Innovation Field Trip. We actually meet this afternoon to talk about the next date, and we're going to change up the forum a little bit next time. I think we're going to have some student panels, which will be exciting and something new to try, maybe a couple different age groups of panels, and maybe our guest that's coming on today will be interested in being on one of our panels with us. So we'll talk to her about that in a minute. But I would like to introduce you to one of the most brilliant people that lives in the Delaware, Ohio area. Her name is Miss Vera Wilder, and she's invented something pretty darn cool. I know that you've had a look at this too, Carmen, and like it. So let's bring Vera on. Hey, Vera, why don't you say hello? Tell us how old you are and what school you go to.
Hi, I am 7 years old, and I go to Shoals Elementary in the Delaware City Schools.
Nice. And at Shoals Elementary, were you ever involved in any kind of program about inventing?
Invention convention, right?
Yeah, invention convention.
The Ohio Invention Convention? The one that has Professor Prototype in it?
Yeah.
That leads it a lot? Yeah. That was a pretty good program. Now, was this the first year you participated in that program, or are you a multi-year inventor?
I've done it once before.
Once before this year?
Mm-hmm.
So you had two inventions altogether?
And then you have a third one that's
this year.
Yeah, at state.
Okay.
Taking to state this year. So a total of three inventions.
Nice. So what was your very first invention?
It was called the EpiPen holder. And it was a purse that had a special type of fabric in it so that I could keep my EpiPen like the right temperature without letting the medicine go bad.
And what temperatures do you have to keep that kind of medicine at?
cold temperature.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because she had like a little thermometer inside the bag, just like an old school thermometer, and we color coded it for her because she was in kindergarten when she invented that. But I believe it was like room temperature. It needed to be like high 60s, low 70s to keep the medication safe because she was diagnosed with a severe anaphylactic tree nut allergy. You were 4, I believe, when you were diagnosed. Yeah, because you were in preschool. And it was shocking to us that if the medication got too hot, that it would become inactive, but you would never know. And so you would still be carrying around this life-saving medication. And if it went bad.
And it might be bad, and you would be like, oh, I have this medicine that will save my life. And then it might not work.
Oh, no, that'd be terrible. And I am so sorry, Vera, I did not introduce your partner there. Can you please tell us who's sitting next to you?
That's my mom.
Is that your mom, Kristen?
Yep.
Okay. And Kristen, you're also a teacher. And yeah. You have promoted Invention Convention in your school before, yes?
Absolutely. And it was a program that, it was one of those things where, you know, you get the email that says, oh, promote this program. So you tell the kids a little bit about it, show a quick video, and then move on. But having Vera participate in the program and seeing just the growth and the amazing experiences she's had through that, it's something that I am working with the Ohio Invention League to learn how to promote that better in my class and possibly even make it part of the curriculum in fifth grade science to do an invention project.
Wow, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'm excited about figuring that out. I did a little bit of learning over the summer trying to figure out how to incorporate that.
Okay, well, thank you for what you do to support innovation in Delaware. We appreciate it. So Vera, that was a really cool invention. And you know, every single young inventor I've met has created something so far anyway, because of empathy, because of feeling like they want to help other people. In this case, you were helping yourself, but that invention would help millions of people around the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many people use EpiPens?
I don't know if we ever got a statistic on that, but
not really.
I know that her teacher at the time had to carry an EpiPen for a severe bee allergy. And she was like, well, I want one of those. That's awesome. Because she remembered being like a teenager and going through that phase in school where like, do you keep it in your backpack? Do you carry it in a purse? Like, what do you do with it? And, you know, the heat factor, everybody has to remember that. So she thought that was something that she would have used.
Yeah.
But anybody with any sort of a severe allergy carries one. I think it's probably more common than we would think.
Yeah, I used to carry one because I'm allergic to anti-inflammatory. So I can't take ibuprofen or anything like that. But you know where I used to keep it, Vera? In my car glove box.
Oh, no.
Probably wasn't very good anymore after about the first week or week and a half, if that long. Okay, so tell me about invention number two.
So it is called the toothbrush brush.
I think Carmine likes that.
Where the water goes in through the top. And over here, you can stick your toothbrush in. And right here, there's like bristles that rubs it out that you rub your toothbrush on while the water goes in through the top.
Nice. Now, why do we need to do that?
Because the problem I had that like made me do this invention was my mom had just cleaned like the mirror. And then me and my brother went to brush our teeth. And then when she came back, then the mirror and sink was covered in like toothpaste and stuff, and she was so mad.
Moms are so picky, aren't they?
I know, I was like, I just cleaned this. How is there toothpaste? Like,
does that help when you clean your toothbrush? Does that help so it doesn't get all that toothpaste up on the mirror too?
That's great. That's
does it help sanitize the toothbrush too? Does it make the toothbrush clean?
It, although it like cleans the toothbrush.
Right.
Like, normally like the gunk gets in like the bottom of it and then like it just sits there and gets all gross. And then like you have to get a new toothbrush every week.
Right.
How far in does the toothbrush go? Can you show me on your toothbrush cleaner, on your toothbrush brush?
It goes in pretty far. It goes in like all the way to the very bottom.
Yeah, so my toothbrush, I have an electric toothbrush that sits on a little stand when I'm not using it. And my problem isn't as much of the bristles. It's like down from the stem of it, like by where you push the button. It's, I wonder if it would clean off that section too.
That would be an interesting thing to add because, you know, when you put the brush in, this is just like an open tube. But if there was something maybe around here, Carmine, you can put your thinking cap on here. But if there was something, then when you put it in to clean it, it could clean the actual like brush itself because, as well.
The little part like right here, yes. It always gets so dirty.
I know. That's where mine gets gross too. And, you know, it's just toothpaste, but it just doesn't look good after a while. And it kind of builds up there. And I wonder if there's a way to, I suppose you could pour mouthwash down in there instead of water, but it probably, you'd waste a lot of mouthwash compared to the water. But
right.
I mean, that's what I meant by sanitizing, not like a sanitizing cleaner. You wouldn't want to use that on it, but like mouthwash or something, or some kind of diluted mouthwash stuff would be kind of cool. So what are you going to do with this invention? What do you want to do with this invention?
Make it, sell it, make a lot of money.
Carmine wants you to make it and sell it and make a lot of money.
Well, and Carmine kind of been coaching us through that process, trying to figure out, you know, how do you market something? Because making one of these is very time consuming. But how do you make it easier?
Like 3 weeks.
Yeah. It took us a while. We ran into a lot of problems too on making it. But I think just figuring out how to make it easier to produce, and then possibly selling it, because I know her friends and her friends' moms especially have expressed interest in this. Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, I think everybody can picture a kid after they brush their teeth just whacking it on the edge of the sink to get the stuff off. And that's just that.
Wait, kind how of- did that go, Vera? What do you do, Vera?
She does great sound effects, this one. But yeah, so just kind of trying to avoid that motion and having a substitute for that. Because I think, I mean, she joked around that she wanted to make another toothbrush brush for her brother. And then she said, well, Daddy probably needs one too, because his sink is also a mess.
Yeah. So I'm interested. It'd be cool if they traveled too. So you might have to think about a smaller, slimmer model that you could easily tuck away in whatever you put your toothbrush in when you travel. So am I understanding that Carmine's not just the king of podcasts, that he also has a background in taking inventions maybe from prototype to market?
Yep.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? So have you guys had a chance to meet at least once and talk?
Yeah, we've done a few video calls with him and just learning, and he's given us some great resources, not only his book, but also he has a like a roadmap type thing that we've kind of been following along with and seeing what the next steps are in taking an invention to market and figuring out how that works.
That's great. I think that roadmap's also available on the Innovation World website under podcasts. For anybody who's looking for it, they can listen to it online or go out and buy Carmine's book. I think it's called The Inventor's Roadmap.
Yeah, the good part about it is I always give the book away because I cannot get anyone to buy it.
I bought the book. I was the reason you have to do taxes for 2019. Yeah.
I said, I went crazy. I said, somebody in Ohio bought my book, and it was Julie.
Ah, that's great.
It's a lot of great information.
Yeah, so, the book itself has a roadmap in it, so that's great. I'm glad you guys are going through that, so that's good.
So are you willing to tell us a little bit about your newest invention? Because I haven't heard of it. Carmine might have heard about it, but I haven't heard about your newest one yet.
It's called the Coat Tote. And
Coat Tote,
yep.
And it's a sewed bag with suspender clips on the top that clips into your coat to hold your winter accessories.
Oh, so I don't have to lose my gloves and then buy a brand new pair and find my gloves the next day. Right. I could just keep that first pair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we noticed that was a huge problem because Vera is a meticulous and very organized person. So when I bought her her brand new, like, had to have winter gloves from Target, she, you know, took them to school, and within a week, one had fallen out of her pocket of her coat, and she was devastated.
The same happened when we went to a farm. We were like taking a walk in the woods of a farm, and then it fell out.
And it fell out of her pocket, and you know, she had not lost something before, and it was a pretty devastating experience. And then when we started talking to her friends, and I asked the kids in my fifth grade class, and they're like, "Oh no, we have like 8 pairs of gloves because we lose them so frequently throughout the winter." And I mean, they even admitted to losing hats and everything else. I mean, these parents must be paying big bucks for items that are getting lost constantly.
I'm afraid if that was a pig farm, there's no hope to ever find it because they will eat anything.
Right. Okay.
Including gloves.
Yeah.
So did that have suspenders that went over you, or was it something that adheres to the inside of your coat?
It was like the little clips that are on the end.
Yeah. So the clips on the end of suspenders, she sewed those into the bag, and it does clip to the lining of the coat.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, that's great. That's
and amazing. This is the first invention that she was able to kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say mass produce, but she was able to sew.
Like 8 of them.
I made
a survey and gave them out to my friends. And if, like after like 1 or 2 weeks, they filled out the survey. And I was able to see some results about how it worked.
You sewed it yourself?
Yeah, she sewed them herself.
Now, did you know how to sew before you wanted to make that last invention, or is that a new skill?
No, it was new. I learned to do it so I could do the invention.
What other new skills did you learn? If you think back all the way to before you invented, what other kind of new skills did you have to learn to be an inventor?
Probably problem solving. I wasn't very good at that before.
Yeah, I think it's really pushed her to be more creative, because I noticed, you know, her first reaction was always, "Mom, what do I do when this happens? Mom, how do I fix this?" And now it's much more, before I can even get to fixing a problem, she already has an idea and is doing that. So, I mean, I think problem solving is one of the biggest things she's learned from inventing. But I mean, she's learned to use tons of different tools and glue. And the sewing thing was so cool because we just signed her up for a Joanne's class, because I am not very crafty or good with sewing. So we signed her up at Joanne's, and she took a class there and then came home and was able to sew the pillows and bags and a skirt and all sorts. I was like, whoa. I mean, it was incredible to see what she just could do.
Wow.
So I am going to ask you what you want to be when you grow up, but I want to say something first to you. You know, people ask me what I do, and I'll tell them about my work and stuff. But how old are you, Vera?
7
years old. You can now say, well, I am Vera Wild, or I am a multi-year inventor. I mean, how incredible is that, that you already have a job? It may not pay yet. But you have a skill set and you have a direction to go, and you have so much empathy. You're not going to stop finding problems to solve. Now you've got the virus. You've got the invention bug, and you're going to keep going forever. That's just super cool. So
sure.
What do you think you want to do when you get older and you don't have to ask mom to put you in a class?
I think I might want to be a librarian, or an allergy doctor, and maybe even an inventor.
And you could be all of those things. You don't have to pick one. A librarian opens up your entire world. I mean, you have so much at your fingertips if you're a reader. And I suspect you're a pretty good reader.
She is a voracious reader, is how I would describe her. I mean, we cannot keep enough books. I mean, she just goes through them, multiple books a day sometimes. She just loves to read. And she's learned so much from all her reading, you know, about different experiences, different, you know, cultures, and just tons of different things. So it's been really, really neat to watch her with that. But I always picture Vera just doing something really remarkable. She has the way her brain operates, the way she does solve problems. I mean, that could be done in every career. I always tell her that what she learns from invention convention is it will apply to any career she has. I mean, she's grown significantly with public speaking as well. In kindergarten, she was very, very quiet. And I remember her first invention convention just at the district level. She was like, I don't think I can talk to a grown up about this thing that I made. And I was like, well, try it, see how it goes. And, you know, and every new competition or every new opportunity, like the gift event or, you know, just like this, where she gets to talk about her invention, I think gives her, you know, those skill set of just being able to talk to people, which is huge.
Wow. You know, hey, Julie, real quick. You know, that's so funny because I wanted to be a librarian too, but I could never figure out how the Dewey Decimal System worked.
It's scary. I keep thinking maybe they'll think of something new. Like barcodes. Yeah. Barcodes work for me.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe they called it the Dewey Decimal System. That was just threw me off right away.
I'm certain Dewey had something to do with it. Somebody named Dewey. So none of your inventions have been named after you yet. Could be like the Wilder toothbrush, but then there might be some strange connotations with that. The Wilder coat caddy.
Yeah.
Hey, Vera, real quick. I know that we're going on, but when do you know? I mean, I'm sure that you get ideas all the time. Like one, where do you get your best ideas? Is it while you're out walking, while you're in school, while you're sitting by yourself? And then two, how do you know which ideas are good ideas and which ones that you shouldn't move forward with?
So some things I think of like at school, some after I brush my teeth, some when I'm about to go to a hockey game and I need to keep my EpiPen hot.
Right.
Okay. Very good.
I think it's just now that we've kind of gotten in this mindset of inventing, I would say once a week, she'll say, oh, that would be a good problem to solve with an invention. Like and I know like my dad loves brainstorming. He's a retired engineer. He loves brainstorming with her about these things. So anytime she's complaining about something or pointing something, he'll like, oh, that sounds like a good opportunity for invention there, Vera. And so it's just kind of almost become like a culture of our family now of just like looking for little things. And I know even her little brother who just turned 5, the other day
he thought of like, why don't you make like a thermometer that kids can use? And there'll be like a little LED light on the top that like you stick it in your food or like soup or something. And then it tells you if it like green is good, yellow, or like blue is cold, red is hot or something. And then you would know if you should like wait to eat your food or something and then like have something else.
Yeah, but I mean, he thought of that at dinner the other night because the food was too hot and he took a bite and was really mad when it burned his mouth. And you know, we'd only said 3 times before that, your food's hot, don't eat it. But he was hungry. So it was cool though, because then she started thinking, you know, oh, we should get grandpa's Arduino and start playing around with that and see if we can make this, you know? And so it's just, it's something that I don't even know would be something we would think about if it weren't for the invention convention projects she had done. I mean, it's taught her to think like an innovator.
Wow.
And it's been really cool. I mean, we come up with new ideas weekly.
That's so great to hear, because that's why Professor Prototype and all of the people that are behind the Ohio Invention League do what they do. I mean, they certainly don't do it to get rich, because nobody in this business gets rich. We do it out of the love of teaching the next generation to solve all the problems. And there are plenty, Vera, plenty of problems out there for you to solve and for your brother to solve after you or along with you. I'm thinking that the next step for your brother is he'd probably create a yum detector where he can poke it into the food to see if it's going to taste good before he has to eat it.
He would love that. He's not picky, though, so I probably always would be yum for him.
That's good.
Yeah, he'd still eat it.
Yeah, he would.
That's awesome, especially if it was pizza.
So, oh, yeah.
You did the Global Innovation Field Trip in July, didn't you, Vera?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And which inventions did you talk about when you were on the Global Innovation Field Trip?
I think the toothbrush. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So then you can come back and if we do September or October, I think we're working on the dates this afternoon. Come back and talk about your next invention. Plus, you could tell us how you did at States. When is States?
Beginning of August.
Okay. So yeah.
First Sunday in August. So yeah, we'll find out soon about that, which is exciting. We were kind of bummed this year with her making it to nationals. We'd never been to the Henry Ford before, and so we were excited.
Oh, we did get, like, the year pass.
You're right. Yeah, we still got the membership.
And we could get, like, a nice Hampton and stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Go to a hotel.
It is a really neat place.
Yeah, so we were excited about that, and so we're hoping, fingers crossed, that maybe she'll make it to nationals again, and we'll have another opportunity to go there.
Well, if not, if you have a – is it a year membership you have?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking within a year you'll be able to sneak up there regardless.
Yeah, we're just waiting on this vaccine like the rest of the world.
No doubt. Wow, that's awesome. That is cool. So real quick, just a quick update. We are working on the toothbrush brush, and it's so funny, Julie, that you hit on a few things that we hit on while we were meeting. So it's kind of good that we all feel like we're going in the right direction.
I am excited. I'm ready to buy it. So you just tell me. And, you know, I come from a ginormous family. We'll get everybody cleaning their toothbrushes over here.
Absolutely. I think it'll make a lot of parents happy. Less cleaning, happy parents, happy kids. I think it could help families for sure.
Very cool.
Yeah. Great. All right. So any last parting words? Vera, what would you tell an inventor who, or a student, I should say, who's just not sure if they want to learn how to invent, what would you tell them?
I would probably say, like, something about problem solving.
Right, and just tell them to try it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what we did. We had no idea what we were doing when we started, and we just tried to come up with something that would solve a problem, and we did. And that's what I always tell my students at school. And that's why I want to make it part of the curriculum. So we can really, because they always think, well, I can't come up with anything that hasn't already been invented. But until you try, until you really identify a problem in your life, I mean, I think everybody just needs to give it a try because it's easier than you would think.
That's good. Very good. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your reading today, Vera.
Isn't that the truth?
To spend with me and Carmine and all of the listeners and viewers of Innovation World. And I look forward to seeing you at the next Global Innovation Field Trip. And reach out to me anytime there's anything you need. I'm happy to help. And do let me know when they're ready to buy. I'm buying.
Yeah. No doubt. We have a little bit ways to go, but we are on the right track. The great part about it is we can move a lot faster because Vera and her mom did such a great job on the prototype and testing. And they did a great job on the research, which is really important when you're creating a product. So they did a great job. So it made it a lot easier for our team here at Inventors Launchpad. So with that, I thank you, Vera, Kristen, for being on today on Innovation World. All you listeners out there, please go on out to Google Play or iTunes or the Innovation World webpage or go to social media and check out the rest of the videos that we have for Innovation World. And we thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Launch Network. You all take care.
Thank you for joining us today for the Innovation World podcast and the Launch Network. Innovation World is your go-to source for all things innovation, invention, and entrepreneurship. Our website is www.innovationworld.org.